Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
God's people. Holy Ground Fellowship is a Holy Spirit-filled church. Our senior pastor, Apostle Bovic Lola, invites you to attend our Sunday service at 11 a.m. Our address is 8455 Castlewood Drive, Suite C, Indianapolis, Indiana. Visit us on the web at ettmi.org. Be blessed as you listen to God's Word.
We forget that, you know, our Heavenly Father, He is the one who owns the powerhouse. All the peelings of fire, the flashings coming from heaven, the fire, you know, Elijah called upon and it came from heaven. The fire that came down when King Solomon was on his knees about to dedicate the temple, that fire comes from the powerhouse. And the church was supposed to be just a powerhouse, because this is the church of Jesus Christ, the powerhouse owner. The church is supposed to be plugged in all the time. The light of the, of God is supposed to be in the house. The church is called to be the light of the world. The church is called to illuminate the entire world that, Isaiah, prophet Isaiah speaks about, that the entire world is falling into thick darkness. But as the church of Jesus Christ, you and you and you and you and me, when we go back into our community, when we go back to school, we go back to work, we have to illuminate. We have to repel the darkness that is at our workplace, the darkness that is in our homes, the darkness that is in our neighborhood, the darkness that in our schools. One person can make a great change. Amen. Unfortunately today, the problem is that the church has embraced the world. The church has moved into the world. And the world has moved into the church. Because when the church moves into the world, that's you and you and you and I, we go to do things that do not belong to the kingdom of God. Things that do not line up with kingdom principles. When we go into the world, we're going to bring the world back into the church. That's what happens. When you go out, you go to do your things and you come back in the church, you are bringing those things in the church. You are bringing that heaviness in the house of the Lord. And in order to preach a word that is going to change people, in order to sense the presence of God in the praise, in the worship, you're going to feel that heaviness, because people have come with heaviness. They've come with loads. They've come with the contaminants in the house of the Lord. And that's why Jesus has extended his time of grace to give people time to put order in their lives. But remember that the clock is ticking towards midnight. And God is telling us today to understand that time is running out. We need to allow the light of Jesus Christ to illuminate every single corner of our lives. As we know, the day of God is approaching. Today I'm going to try to pinpoint, the picture of this postmodern world and church we are living in today. It becomes very, very hard sometimes, to differentiate the church from the world. And the world from the church. The world is not coming in the church to get saved, because the church people are not displaying the kingdom character of integrity. When the world looks at us, the scandals going on today with the men and the women of God, these big names today with big titles collapsing like heavy logs, falling into scandals, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, divorces, all those things, that is breaking the church into pieces. It is dividing, it is shaming the kingdom of God. And God is looking forward to seeing the bride that has been dressed in rags accept the robe of righteousness again. God is looking forward to seeing the church return to Him. God is looking forward to seeing the world impacted by the body of Christ. But we're not going to do it until we change our lifestyles, until we change the way we are doing God's business, until we display that life of integrity, until we display that life of holiness. We don't even have to tell people about God. They will just look at us and they're going to say that these people, they are peculiar. They are different. I want to know what you do to be who you are. That's what we need to hear from the world. Let's read in the book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read a couple of verses. Verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. If you're with me, say amen. This is Paul talking to the Galatians here. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And you are turning to a different gospel. There is a different gospel in the body of Christ today. And God is grieved because when you bring another gospel, that is not the gospel of the kingdom of God. You are bringing doctrines of demons in the body of Christ. When you bring a gospel that is not the gospel at all, you are just taking God as a liar. You are bringing, heresy in the house of God, and you are opening doors for demons. Pastors are opening doors for demons in the churches because they are bringing another gospel. We know the gospel is the word of God, and it is the voice of God speaking to the body of Christ. Whatever doesn't line up with this word is a doorway, it's a pathway, it's a port of entry for demonic spirits in the body of Christ. That's why the church is full of just anxiety and the depression, is full of bitterness, is full of just a hate crime, is full of stuff you can't even imagine. The church has been stinking because the leadership of the church is not clean. When the leadership is not clean, the entire congregation is going to be polluted. And nobody cares about mega churches. God wants to bring it to a higher level. To grow up, to reach hundreds or thousands, praise the Lord. I don't care about having 1,000 members that I'm not going to take to heaven. They are all there. Their trumpet is sounded in Zion and everybody is left behind. All the people who came from Egypt, because of their rebellion against God, none of them, around 2.5 million people, Israelites, from captivity with the promises of God, around 2.5 million people, none of them made it into the promised land. From the age of 20 and up, none of them made it into the promised land. That means there was a 2.5 million people who didn't make it into the promised land, who died because of their own iniquities. And on the resurrection day, left behind, except Caleb and Joshua, two people. You can have a vision today. God gives you a vision. God can call you, but if you do not walk according to His principles, you can backslide and you can become like any other heathen. It doesn't matter who you are. You can call yourself an apostle. You can be a prophet. You can be a pastor. But if you are not walking this word, you're not walking what you talk. You're not talking what you walk. You are just lost like anybody else. Aaron, God is the one who appointed him, the first high priest. In the old covenant, but Aaron didn't enter the promised land. He was the first pastor. God appointed, but he didn't make it into the promised land. So many people are going to say the same. Lord, we're doing this. We're prophesying in your name. We're casting out demons in your name. Depart from you, doers of iniquity. I never knew you. Those are ministers, big names. You tell them about it and say, go away with your accent. We don't need you. Don't go away with your poverty mentality. Who told you this? Who told you that? Time is going to come when Jesus is going to say, go away from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. You doers of iniquity. Aaron, he rebelled against God because he brought rebellion in the church. He brought rebellion. Arrogance and pride comes before fall. It comes before fall. When that rebellion comes, God gives people to change and repent. But if they're hardened their hearts, fall is going to come. When you're living in rebellion against God and you're in the body of Christ, what's going to happen? God is going to resist you. He will resist you. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how anointed you think you are. Aaron told his brother Moses, who was the vision carrier, who do you think you are? I'm also anointed like you. My sister Miriam, she was the first prophetess. She's anointed like you. We also have a vision. We've also heard from God. God gave him time to think about it, to change. Aaron hardened his heart. At the end of it, God struck him dead. He dropped dead on the mountaintop. Unfortunately, God told his brother Moses, take off the robe of priesthood from him. And as soon as the robe was stripped of him by his brother Moses, Pastor Aaron, he dropped dead. Miriam, she made it because of her brother Moses' intercessory prayer. God's grace. The teachers are going to be more accountable than the students. Pastors are going to be more accountable than the congregation. Miriam, she had no robe. She had no anointing of priesthood. She was just a prophetess. And that's why she made it. She survived. We have to be very careful with our arrogance in the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I'm not here. As I'm telling you, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. Are people deserting pastors today? Are people deserting Jesus today? They are. And are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. Is it happening in the body of Christ today? People are throwing others into confusion today. Sometimes people don't know which way to go, which gospel to believe, what word to believe because of the confusion going on. And that confusion is taking place when you begin moving from faith to faith, when you begin visiting from church to church. There's nothing wrong with visiting another church, but if you begin moving from church to church, this year you are in one church, the next year you are in the other church, in the long run, you're going to end in landing in the land of demonic doctrines. In the end, you're going to receive a gospel of confusion. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Is it happening before our eyes today? It is happening. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. So many people are on the eternal death row. Because of the confusion they are just throwing God's creation into. I'm sharing this word today not because I expect somebody to clap his hand for me. A preacher is not somebody who needs approval from men. A preacher is somebody who needs approval from God. Because if you're expecting to receive approval from mankind, you will be disappointed. You will be trashed. You will be stepped on like a doormat. And you're going to end in giving up that ministry because you base your ministry on man rather than basing your ministry on God himself, the foundation on whom just we're supposed to build the ministry, and the gates of hell are going to shake, but they can never prevail against the kingdom of God. When you're anchored in Jesus Christ, your ministry has been just founded by Jesus Christ, that rock of ages. When you build on that rock of ages, the worms are going to swell, I'm telling you. Rivers are going to just jump out of the beds. And I'm telling you, mountains are going to quake. And the sky is going to roll like crazy, like a scroll. But I'm telling you, you can never be shaken because of the foundation. That rock of ages you've built on can never be shaken. You can shake, but I'm telling you, because you're unshakable. What is unshakable is going to stay. And what is shakable is going to go. That's how it is. There are times when you need to take a stand. There are times when we need to be alone. If you want to be upset all the time with what's going on in the body of Christ, as a leader, you can never make it. You want just look at the church. I'm thanking God for having grounded me for just now. This is my more than a year that I've been sitting down. The very first time since I've been called to the nations. God wanted me to see the picture of the church. This thing is like a camel skin, man. So I thank my God who has really grounded me to be able to look at the picture of the postmodern church. But there are times when you're going to have to take a stand alone. There are going to be times when you're going to stand firm and defend what you heard from the Lord and carry on that vision that God has given you. There are times when you have to stand alone and defend the faith and stand for what is righteous, for what is pure and what is holy. No matter what the world is saying, no matter what everybody is doing, we want to do it God's way and not man's way. Some people are going to be oppressed. They're going to be offended all the time. But I'm telling you, nothing can change mankind. The truth, they can reject it. But they're going to bump somewhere in situations. They're going to give them a flashback in the past. The word they heard, the Holy Ghost fellowship. They're going to just begin sounding, becoming louder and louder and louder. You heard it. You're going to sing even hymns. You're going to sing songs you learned in preschool. When you go in those storms, you're going to remember those small Christian songs you learned in preschool when you're going through the tough times. Because the word of God can never return void. You heard it, you're going to bump into it somewhere. In one way or another. There is another gospel we are hearing today. There is another Jesus that is being preached today. We are hearing a lot of message. A message that doesn't want to talk about hell. We are hearing a message that is void of hell. The message we are hearing today in the postmodern church is a message that doesn't want to talk about repentance. We are hearing a message that is trying to a message of peace only. A message of peace. There is no peace. There is no peace where we are at war. How can you talk about peace? We are wrestling and you're talking about peace. We are on the floor with the enemy and you're saying you're talking about peace. You're being pushed in a corner and by the enemy you are fighting back. You want to talk about peace. There's a lot of message promising peace today. Peace is not going to be today. Peace is going to just be when Jesus comes and just parks in the air and we go to join him in the air and he takes us to heaven for 7 years while tribulation is hitting this earth and then bring us back after 7 years to enjoy the honeymoon of 1,000 years. That's going to be the time of peace. But right now, Jesus, he told us he's going to prepare a place for us. But he has told us to take a stand. He has given us help, the Holy Spirit of God, to help us on the battlefield. It's so sad because the people want to only to hear what is pleasing them. They want to hear only just a feel-good message. I'm telling you today that I've not come personally. I don't really. The word of God, I believe what it does, it afflicts the comfortable. People have been in the comfort zone. The word of God, it afflicts the comfortable. But it, at the same time, it comforts the afflicted. People, maybe, they want to hear what they're supposed to do to come out of the messes. They are groaning for help. And the word of God is there to comfort them. Read the Beatitudes to see what Jesus said. The word of God is there to change those who have been in the comfort zone and to afflict them and make them feel miserable and bitter in their choices. We need the message of the gospel in this messy age we are living in today. The world is messed up. The world doesn't need prosperity. The kingdom of heaven and his righteousness is what they need. Because when you have the kingdom of God, everything else you're going to receive it. The world doesn't need prosperity. America is already prosperous. America doesn't need to feel good. It doesn't need a feel good message. America is already feeling good. They need just Jesus. They need the gospel of purity. They need the pure and the full gospel. They need the spirit of the gospel just to deliver them from their spiritual bankruptcy. The entire world is not only America. The entire world is going astray. Africa is just becoming just like America and like Europe is the same devil everywhere. And the entire world, they need a savior. They need to hear about somebody whose name is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to come to deliver mankind from his deprivation. His name is Jesus Christ. Today there is another Jesus we are hearing about. And this Jesus that we're hearing about, it sounds like it's not going to be the real Jesus. I believe there is another Jesus, what we call the New Age movement Jesus. There is a modern Jesus Christ today. A modern Jesus Christ a Jesus who is soft, who is very tender. There is another Jesus who is very sentimental today. There's another Jesus who doesn't want to threaten anybody with hell. That's the Jesus of the New Age movement. You're the captain of your own faith. Don't worry, there's no sin. There's no evil at all. That's the New Age movement Jesus. We're hearing about another Jesus who is so compassionate that he's been in heaven and he's going to be at the entrance of heaven waiting, hugging sinners and bringing them in. Come on in. Come on in, drug addicts. Come on in, alcoholics. Come on in, fornicators. That's the false Jesus I know. The Jesus who I know, he came as the Lamb of God to deliver mankind and he's been in heaven interceding for us so that we can be where he is. When he comes back, he's not going to come back as the Lamb of God anymore. He's going to come as a roaring lion. He's going to come as a severe judge. That's the Jesus I know. We need to know him right now. And whosoever doesn't know him, we need to go and tell him about who he is so that those people may make it into eternity. This is not the Jesus we preach at Holy Ground Fellowship. The real Jesus I know personally is the Jesus who recommends and commands men to repent. He's the Jesus who tells people to repent or they will perish. He gives you two options. Either you repent or you don't repent and you perish. Either you repent and you are saved. Well, whosoever believes and is saved will be, and whosoever is baptized and believes and is baptized will be saved. But whosoever doesn't believe will be condemned. This is the Jesus who recommends people to repent of their sins and become sons and daughters of God. It's Jesus who commands people to be transformed. He's commanding people not to conform to the patterns of this world. When you've come into the kingdom of God, he's telling you, don't conform anymore. The world has been taken out of you. Now you are in the kingdom. You can never live just the world style lifestyle anymore. Now you need to begin living the kingdom lifestyle because you've been changed and transformed. The Jesus I know is the Jesus who teaches the fear of God and warns sinners about the danger of hell. But today, there is another lax Jesus Christ. But right now, he's knocking at each and everyone's door of our hearts. When we hear his voice, let us not harden our hearts. Right now, Jesus is at the door you are in, you own, you know, the house. And nobody else is going to open for you. He doesn't have the key. There is only one handle, and that handle is just inside. He cannot force it in. He can't break in. You own the key for that door. And unless you open, he's not going to come in. He's going to keep knocking. And time is going to come when he's going to be knocking, time is going to run late for you. As he's knocking, we'd better open before it gets too late. Unfortunately, today, people, they want only to hear about the Jesus who is a giver only. People, they want to hear about Jesus and what he can do for you. People want to hear only about Jesus, his kingdom, and his benefits. There are no benefits. I cannot do it. Real servanthood is serving the Lord without expecting any benefits. Knowing that he owes everything. When you are a faithful servant, you are working in his vineyard. You're working in his harvest field. When the fields are white, God doesn't need the harvest. You need it. All the blessings belong to you. Just serve him with integrity. Just serve him with commitment. Serve him with zeal and passion. And the benefits are going to come. Because salvation comes as a package, as I tell you. When you're serving God, God can never turn anybody down. But unfortunately, the people, they want only a Jesus who's going to give them stuff. People, they want a Jesus who's going to welcome them in heaven the way they are and give them a crown. But they don't want to carry the cross. You want to follow him? Pick up the cross and follow him. People, they want only a Jesus who's going to say, come on! In order to receive that prize after having run this race, you said, I will finish the race. In order to receive that crown, in order to receive that crown, you have to carry the cross. And when you reach that the top of the mountaintop, the top of the Calvary, when you reach the mountaintop by the help of the Holy Ghost, then you're going to receive a crown. Racers never receive a prize until you reach the finish line. Remember, there is a price to pay in order to receive that prize. Muscles are going to be torn into, torn off when you are running the race. But as soon as you reach your destination, there is a crown. You can now receive your massage. You can just receive, you can go anywhere and be taken care of because everybody is around you when you receive your gold medal. That's what we are racing for. Praise God. Jesus is the answer. Nothing else. Jesus, he has the answer for whatsoever we need. But people, they are running after stuff to find just maybe a solution to their problems. Jesus is the solution to each problem. Jesus is the answer giver. People, they are looking for answers to their problems in the wrong way. They are finding it in king alcohol. They are finding it in drugs and in weeds and psychics and fortune tellers and spiritists and palm readers in wrong places. While the answer is just at the door. And Jesus, the Son of the Living God, he's the answer. You can run after the things of this world, but I'm telling you, why gain the entire world and then end in losing your soul? There is no second chance we're going to be given. This is the time to insure our soul. It doesn't matter what you have. We can insure everything. You can insure your car, full coverage. You insure your boat. You insure your planes, your own jets. You insure your buildings. You insure your life. Life insurance. There is no life insurance. I know you can insure your life, but you can never insure your eternal life. Nobody makes a mistake by taking life insurance. That amount of money they give you. But if you lost your soul, that money, even life insurance, you nobody even sees you. Those who are left behind, they are those who are left behind you, still breathing, they are the ones who receive that money. And you talk about life insurance? You can only insure your life by surrendering it to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not telling you not to take him. If your employer is giving you life insurance, that money paying $1 a month, if you can afford it, go ahead and do it. You want to leave money to those left behind. How about your soul? Is your soul insured for eternity? Your soul, when you die, you can never come back to say, I'm going to insure it. Give me another chance. Lord, I made mistakes. I was running too much. Lord, I'm sorry I had 2 jobs. Lord, I'm sorry I had 3 jobs. I had 6 children. I had 8 children. And everybody was looking for me to help them. Lord, I want to give the tithe in the church. I wanted to bless the pastor. But God didn't. God doesn't need your staff. God needs your soul. Jesus is in heaven. He's been groaning 24/7, interceding for us. The Holy Spirit of God has been praying 24/7 so that we can make it into eternity. The pastors, apostles and teachers, prophets and all the ministers, they've been groaning, praying and fasting only for your soul, watching over your soul 24/7 so that you can make it. Nobody's after your money. We are after your souls. We don't want anybody to be lost. We want your soul into eternity. We want your soul in heaven. That's what we need. Prosperity is gonna end. The day we die, you know, there's gonna be a hearse taking you to the graveyard. Nobody go to the graveyard with a U-Haul behind the hearse. Nobody. We came naked. People, they are confused. They're hearing the truth in the church. They don't know the day of the Lord is coming. We've been sent to this nation as a prophets of God to come and tell this nation to repent. And anybody who is in here, and you are not changed here. There was no church in Indianapolis. You're going to change if you didn't change in this church here.
Right.
Wherever you go, that's fine. God can send you to any other church to go and help. But if you didn't change with the message you hear here, your life is in danger. I don't think there's going to be. You can hear just this message of purity every other time, but you're not going to hear it over and over. Jesus, He was a preacher of righteousness. Guys, I want to encourage you. Take a stand. Don't belong to the postmodern church. You want to belong to the church that was just, you know, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes in our lives, we're going to begin hating iniquity. We're going to begin hating sin, and we're going to love only good. Because you know evil and good, they are in opposition. Like God and the devil, they are in opposition. Whichever you choose is going to oppose you to the other one. We don't want to waste so much time in sin. Because sin, what it does, in the long run, you can linger in it but for a while, but it's going to end in paying just its wages and its death penalty. Sin wants to keep us longer than we want to stay. The more you dive in it, the deeper it's going to take you. And the longer it's going to be keeping you to come out of it. That's why people who are in addiction, it becomes almost impossible. Whether it's pornography, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, they always want, it keeps them longer than they want to stay. Every single day somebody is deciding to quit. It is not being able to quit. Because you chose the wrong pathway. Sin is wants to take us farther than we want to go. It wants to take us farther than we want to go. You can start with a beer only. I'm going to just take maybe a soda in that place. And then they end in putting even maybe drugs in your soda. And then you end and begin drinking without even knowing what you're doing. And the end of it, you're going to find yourself in hospital in a critical care unit. You've been raped by 15 young people. It wants to take you farther than you want to go. It starts with maybe with a beer. Then with beer, and then it's going to end maybe in drugs adding to your beers. Most of beers always go with drugs. Drugs always go with beer. People who smoke weed, they want to get a bottle of beer to quench it, to cool it down. And then it, We already high, drunk, raped, and then you're gonna be taken. And you're gonna find when you wake up in the morning, you are in a brothel. You are in a prostitute's house. There's a friend, a late friend of mine. We were living in the same home in Uganda. I was ministering to him and telling him, brother, the devil is about to take your life. You cannot continue. God has blessed you with this international job position. You are drinking like crazy. He comes back dead. I used to have an uncle of mine who was drinking. He was drinking. He was just a vice manager of a bank. He had power, he had popularity, and he had prosperity. He was on the payday. There are times when I wake up in the morning from the main street road, on the sidewalk leading into the house, new bank bills everywhere. People who brought him at night, they are just taking, they are falling down everywhere. I can hear him when they are bringing him back around 10 p.m. because I lived in his home for a while. I could hear people, maybe four people bringing that big man. He's drunk like crazy. They are just, I can hear them, it has rained, you know, overseas it's muddy. I can hear them on the floor, I can hear them. And every time I heard those footsteps, I knew they were bringing him. I can hear them collapsing, they're also drunk, bringing him. They open the door, they dump him in the house. There was only one word he used to remember. Unfortunately, it's now passed because he's dead. And he died with a bottle of beer in front of him. Hell is real. Every time they dump him, you know, on his couch, I could hear him just, and he just says one word, he says, and the word is in front, he says, more. More. That was his word only. M-O-R-T. You're not French speaking, but you can figure out what that word means. It means dead. And that was it. Through the morning, the next day, sometimes he doesn't go to work when he was drunk like that, especially on Saturdays. Unfortunately, what he was speaking from his mouth came to pass. He's dead. He was a man who could get vacations just to travel all over the world as he wants. He had money, he had prosperity, he had power, and he had popularity. But he was empty. He had no Jesus. And he died without Jesus, which is tragic. I'm so sorry and I'm very, very saddened by this other gospel that is being preached today. A gospel with no persecution, but it has only benefits. People think that there's not going to be persecution. Serving God is not only expecting for benefits. There are going to be persecution, trials on the front line. It's war. It's warfare. You cannot only say that there's no persecution. Persecution is going to be there. Persecution is going to be linger there until Jesus comes to put an end to it. You're going to hear the gospel only. You're not going to hear again the question we used to hear, what must I do to be saved? You don't hear it anymore. The tears have disappeared from the church because the church is dead. Who doesn't cry? It's a dead man who doesn't cry. But when you are alive, tears, they have got a healing virtue. There is no tears in the church today. Where have the tears gone in the church today? The church has passed out. That's why they can't cry out anymore. And God is telling us today, it's time to bring back the pure gospel in the street, in the highways, in the byways, until people ask again, what must I do to get saved? Like the rich man came to Jesus and he asked, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Though he didn't surrender, but at least he tried. When Peter came from the upper room, he preached a sermon about the power and the authority of Jesus, his crucifixion, his resurrection. When people heard it, they said, what must we do now? And he said, repent, you and your children, and you'll be baptized, and then you'll be saved. Where has the repent message gone? Where has the what must I have to do? What must I do message gone? Where has it gone? The man who jailed Paul and Silas Because they ministered to a young lady who was speaking through the spirit of divination. When God came in the cell and delivered them, the jail guard, he freaked out to death because he knew that Paul and Silas have disappeared and that he was going to be killed. But as soon as he found them, they didn't run away because they knew God was with them. He asked them, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas told him, "Repent and be baptized, you and your children, and you will be saved." God is telling the church today to repent and be baptized as and our children, and we will be saved from the coming wrath of the Father. But the preacher's response today, the postmodern church preachers today, their answer to that question is, come the way you are. Come the way you are. There's nothing wrong with it. You come the way you are, but when you come in the body of Christ, you have to change and be transformed by the renewal of your mind. When you come in the church of Jesus, you have to come to change. If you are a drug addict, come with your addiction. God loves drug addicts, but He doesn't love drug addiction. God loves fornicators, but He doesn't love fornication. He loves homosexuals, but He doesn't love homosexuality. Come the way you are, but come to change the word of God. When it's spoken, the truth is going to set you free, because they will know it. They will know it. And when they know it, the word of God can never return void. It's going to accomplish what has been spoken for. When you speak it out, just speak it out. It's a lion. Open the cage. Allow the lion out. The lion will defend itself. Jesus is the lion. His word, speak it out. It can never return void. It's going to accomplish what it has been sent for. Just speak it. That's your part. You have nothing to do about salvation. Jesus is the Savior. You can never save anybody. Just launch the word. It's going to accomplish what you speak it for. Come the way you are. In our church, there is no racism. There is no hate. There is no judgment. In our church, there is no legalism. There is racism in the church. There is judgment in the church. There is slander in the church. A church is a battlefield. All this stuff, that's where the devil is fighting. The battlefield is not in the strip clubs. The battlefield is not in the pubs. It's not in the crack houses. Those are conquered territory already. The devil has positioned his policemen to protect those areas. That's his area already. But the devil is coming to conquer the church. He's in the church. There's racism in the church. There's hatred in the church. There is just all the things you can imagine. Fornication, immorality, adultery, anything you can imagine. The church has been infected by Satan. There are a lot of contaminants in the church. We need to take a stand and purify the church with the pure and the full gospel. No racism in our church. It is there. No judgment. There is a lot of judgment in the church. Then you can even imagine. Oh, it's okay. Come the way you are. Yeah, just be dressed casual. There's nothing wrong with being casual in the church. And when somebody comes with some tight pants, because you told them, come just be casual, and they pastor, it's very, very hard for the postmodern church pastors are not telling people that you need to be dressed with modesty. I don't have to tell the present worship team, when you come in here, avoid anything that is transparent. Because you are like Levites. You are Levites. The Levites had long robes because when they were going upstairs to the Holy of Holies, because if you had short stuff, a short robe, a dress, a garment, it would just go up. You couldn't even show your knees. You come just in a miniskirt, you're coming in tight pants. Who are you coming to impress? Jesus? He's sitting there. You are here praising Him. You are praising Him, mispraising Him. He's got visitors around Him, and that's the way you please Him? I'm not telling you to be wearing maybe big stuff or shabby, but be dressed with modesty. I'm not asking you to come with stuff, but you have to control how you're dressed. Because the way you're dressed, it displays your character. If you want to please maybe somebody who is in the church, who's gonna attract, you know what we call flies, because Flies are going to come. They come always where there is a dead body. Those who are going to come to you are going to be drug addicts, fornicators who are going to come to you. You are my daughter. You are dressed like that. The people are going to be attracting, or people are going to take you to the couch. And you end up being injected, you know, Satan venom. In the end, it's going to be just to inject the toxin from Satan. We cannot be imitating the world just in our dress code. It's not because you've seen maybe. I don't want anybody to experience where the sister came here for prayer. And the entire night she was crying, just crying out. No, Lady Gaga! Lady Gaga! Leave me alone! Lady Gaga! You're ordering stuff from her website. Thanks to that have been dedicated to Satan. It has been anointed by evil spirits. That's what you are wearing. That's why those demons are coming, because you owe them stuff. You owe them stuff. Give them back their stuff and they will leave you alone. Man, I'm telling you, come casual. There's nothing. I like to be casual. That's okay, but it doesn't matter how casual you are, but what is in your heart? Going in our church, there's a lot of fun. There are so many church buildings today. Within the church building, fornication is taking place in there. That's why when we become, building owners, that's why I have to be, I don't know if I need to place watchmen. Not their physical watchmen, but we need watchmen. Because if I'm on the other side of the building and somebody is about to abuse a child on the other building, let Jesus take that millstone and tie it on the neck of that person and throw him in the sea. Kill him. That person is an agent of Satan. The devil has got demons, he's got evil spirits, and he's got agents, human beings who are serving him. Those are the ones who are coming to abduct our children, who are coming to molest them. Those people, Jesus already pronounced judgment upon them. You are just coming looking for a church where you're going to satisfy your sexual lust. It's not going to be in here. May the Lord, just the power of God that is in here, if you have that intention, repel you and take you so far away from here, or save you so that you can surrender and be born again like anybody in this church. Cookouts. We've got a lot of cookouts, barbecues. There's nothing wrong with barbecue. Barbecue can lead us in trouble. It's good to fellowship as a church. You have it, maybe, I don't know, a deck somewhere, you have maybe like where we can have a barbecue. I love it. But you don't want to enjoy the barbecue King Saul enjoyed. When the prophet of God Samuel came, he said, well, I can smell something here. King Saul, I'm just a little bit amplifying. Because I believe when he brought those stuff, he was already roasting. I can smell a barbecue here. No, it's okay. We just wanted to sacrifice to God the best sheep, the best, with a better fat. Barbecue can cause us trouble. There's nothing wrong with it, but are we spending our time in barbecues? Are we spending our time in the cookout? Are we spending our time in fun time? Where is the place of prayer? Where is the place of fasting? Where is the place of fellowship? Where is the place of prayer meetings in the house of God? A church is not a playground. A church is a battleground. This is an army. The church is an army. Jesus said we are not wrestling against blood or flesh. A church is an army. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Jesus, the church is an army. He says resist the devil. Resisting. It's war. We are at war. The church is supposed to be at war. We are not sleeping. We are not sleeping. We are on a battleground. It's not a playground. Fun is good because even soldiers, sometimes they have to eat and drink. But I'm telling you, we have no time to waste in fun. Fun is good. There's time for everything. But most of our time has to be dedicated to kingdom business. The church is not only a candy bar store. It's not a candy store where you can only come to receive a sweetie pie. It's not only a place where you can come only to receive goodies. The church is warfare where you can come. You have to come to receive the full armor of God and go to the battlefield. In this country, the church is called a business company. It's called a business entity. Every year we find a business entity. It's a business entity. I don't know. I know we are doing God's business. But the church is not a place where you're going to come just. We are waiting for customers who are going to come to fill the pews. People are bringing only money in. We only have them in because they have money. You only go to pick them up, give them a ride because they have money. But those who are maybe on those who have nothing, those who don't tithe. I told you an example of those two ladies. They live on the other side. And there was a pastor who came in the neighborhood. When he looked at them, they didn't look like they were worthy. They looked like maybe by coming to his church, they're going to look ugly. He disappeared from that neighborhood when he saw them. But we've been going there to pick them up because those are souls. It doesn't matter if it's somebody in a wheelchair. It doesn't matter if somebody is mentally sick. It doesn't matter if somebody has been paralyzed for life. Those are souls. It doesn't matter if they've never spoken. They've never heard anything. They're just a bunch of stuff in a wheelchair. If we can drag them to church, bring them to church because those souls, his soul is like the soul of Barack Obama. His soul is like yours. Those people, we have to go to them. And God puts poor people in our pathway, needy people in our pathway as a stumbling block. He put the rich man in the, Lazarus in the path of the rich man. And the rich man didn't do what he's supposed to do. And at the same time, he said, let me go and build my bones. And I'm going to just enjoy my champagne. I'm going to enjoy my rams. What happened the next time? Tonight, I'm going to take your soul. Where did he land? He landed in the flames of hell. And Lazarus made it into the promised land. Oh. All the things of this world will pass away. They will pass away. The church, we are brothers and sisters. Don't look down at somebody. You look down at somebody, you're in trouble. You have hatred. There's no love. You are a murderer. Because if you don't love your neighbor, you are a murderer. We only want people who can bring stuff. Don't touch that. Don't mess up with that one. People have made pledges. $60 million. He's already signed in his will. The pastor of that religion church knows already that he already has maybe his a copy of the will. That this is just, I'm going to donate $40 million to the church. That man can stand out of the church that at the entrance with his pipe just blowing it. Don't mess up with that man. The pastor even can just put you at gunpoint. That man already, we are just warping our pews only for people who can bring prosperity in the church. That's not the will of God. We don't need customers in the church. We need souls to be saved in the church. The blood of Jesus Christ is not preached anymore. When we preach the blood of Jesus Christ, it scares people. Oh, it scares people. It scares people. Jesus preached just his blood. 5,000 people left him. Because they said, this man is a cannibal. How come that he can be preaching just the blood? He wants us to drink his blood. The blood of Jesus is what puts demons to flight. The blood of Jesus, it has got power to save. What is in the blood? There is salvation in the blood of Jesus. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is deliverance in the blood of Jesus. There is breakthrough in the blood of Jesus. There is freedom in the blood of Jesus. Everything is in the blood of Jesus. Freedom, salvation, deliverance, redemption. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sins. The blood of Jesus, it breaks curses. It reverses curses. The blood of Jesus disables spells. The blood of Jesus scares out Satan and demons and evil spirits and agents of Satan, witches and wizards, witch doctors. The name of Jesus and his blood is the devil's nightmare. The blood of Jesus has power and authority to protect us, because when the angel of destruction comes, he will see the blood of Jesus and will pass over your home. When the tornado comes, we see that your house is covered by the blood of Jesus. It's gonna bounce up and go to land in another place and leave your house alone. There is power in the blood of Jesus. We need to preach the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus. Nothing can free us but the blood of Jesus. It doesn't scare people, it scares demons. The blood scares the devil. Removing the blood of Jesus from the house of God is like unplugging a power cord from the outlet. The devil doesn't want to hear the blood of Jesus. When you begin saying there is power in the blood of Jesus, in deliverance, you're going to begin seeing manifestations. As I'm concluding, today's gospel is only about sugarcoating and cutting and pasting. Want to cut this one, we don't like this one, cut it, paste it there. Paste it there, we don't want. That's the Jehovah Witness, no doctrine. They bring you one verse, they grab just one portion of a verse from somewhere and they show it to you. But if you tell him to read the entire paragraph, he's not going to do it. Cutting and pasting. We want to remove all the bumps and all the bumps that is in the gospel. We want to remove every mountain that is in the gospel. We want only, you know, we want to pave a smooth and flat road. The gospel, this race is full of wars, battles, is full of warfare. This race we are running is battles. The very same way Joshua, he had to fight nations, crossing into Jericho, bringing the wall down, conquering nations until he made it into the promised land. It's the very same way we're going to fight all those Amalekites, the Philistines, the Jebusites. We're going to fight them one after another, crossing, moving on until the wall of Jericho comes down, until you cross to the other side. That's the way we are fighting. We're not going to take a rest or give God any rest. We're going to fight this battle until Jesus comes back, and we're going to win it because Jesus won it 2,000 years ago. And he tells us the battle is not yours, but the battle is his. We need to really believe this Bible. The Bible is a checkbook. It's full of promises. Everything God has promised us to do, for us, he will do it. But are we standing on the promises of God? Many times we get discouraged and we want to give up because we don't see the result right away. We don't have to be running after people. We don't want to just, we want to love people. I know that, you know, the doctor doesn't go to the, the sick have to go to the doctors. No doctor is going to call you to ask you if you are doing okay. You have to go to the doctor. Jesus didn't run. We don't want to run after the things of this world. We are running after wealthy people. We are running after them. They are trying to bow before them to receive benefits. Jesus didn't run after the rich young man and tell him that I apologize, you know. I didn't mean to be too harsh at you. Today we are bowing to those wealthy people in the church. There was a man who was in this church and he used to, when he wanted to say, I have something to say, he said, today I'm going to give double. Let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I'm going to give double. And when such people left, they thought that the Apostle Bobby was going to bow. I speak with an accent, but I'm radical in Jesus. I love people. I'm humble. But whatsoever is trying to destroy the kingdom of God, I'm ready to allow it to be chopped off. That's who I am. And that's how you're supposed to be. They thought I was going to bow and say, I'm sorry for what I said, please stay. God, He owns the vineyard. He flashes in and out. He can take out and He can bring in. If He knows you're going to be a stumbling block to the house, He takes you out. It doesn't matter how important you think you are. He's the owner of the vineyard. He's the one who hires. But if you're not brought by Him, He will take you out. God is done with the I apologizes. Yeah, messages. People, there was a lot of I apologize, I couldn't make it. I apologize, you know, this month I couldn't tithe. I apologize. You're going to be just, I apologize, until you are left behind. It's time to stop excuses. God understands excuses too. He can know that, for instance, you are working. Monday through Saturday, you have to be at work. I apologize, I'm at work is valid. Because 6 days you will work and the seventh day will make it holy. But when I apologize because my supervisor told me to come to work on Sunday, I apologize is for yourself and your wife and your children, but I apologize is not even for your wife and children, it's for yourself. It's not for your pastor. Your is your selfishness. It's going to end in burying you down underground. Pray to God, to speak to your supervisor, to change and reshuffle your schedule. Leave you alone. Pray to God to change your schedule. pray to God to get rid of that supervisor and bring another one who is a little lax. Pray to God just to take you out of there and give you another job position. That is easier and even better paying. God can make it happen. If you don't want to do it, God is going to end in terminating you. And you're going to try to find maybe an employment. You're not going to be finding it for 2 years waiting even with no income because you didn't want to listen. But if you cry out to Him, bring Him the request, He will do it for you. Don't be just say, I apologize. God is tired with the I apologize. Give Him the request if you have it. It can happen that maybe your daughter gets sick. God knows the heart. If you I apologize, it's just really a fake excuse, then you're in trouble. God, He wants us to be real. Let us stand up on our feet. God is telling us to rise up, guys. There's no peace. There's a lot of message of peace today. There's a message of false peace. Everything is going to be right. Everything is going to be okay. The church is going to be doing this. Yes, but Jesus, He told us that it's going to become worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's going to become worse and worse and worse. How do I know? Watch the early morning news. Watch the late evening news. Read the newspapers. When you go to the internet, read all those, the headlines, and see. And tell me, through this week as a test, one good news you're going to bring. Everything is becoming worse and worse and worse and worse. But Jesus, He said that those are going to be just the end time signs. When we see those things begin to come to pass, we need to lift up our eyes. Evil is going to increase. A lot of abomination is going on. People are going to call evil good and good evil. There is a lot going on today. Jeremiah 6:14, people will say, just the prophet was saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is no peace on the face of the earth right now. The peace we have today is only the peace from God. The peace transcending all understanding. The peace we have is the peace from Jesus. But if you are expecting people who have no God, no Jesus, no Holy Spirit in these last days, they have no joy. They have no peace. They are working, but they are freaking out that they're going to lose their jobs. They are freaking out that something is going to happen. They are freaking out that they're going to get cancer. They are freaking out that they're going to lose their marriages because the Prince of Peace is not in their lives. And as this earth is being assaulted by wickedness, what are we supposed to do? We need to rise up.
We believe you enjoy this message. Pass it on to someone else. We invite you to come soak in our Holy Spirit saturated service at 11 a.m. at our location, 8455 Castlewood Drive, Suite C, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46250. If you have a healing or deliverance prayer request, call our office at 317-913-6904 or 317-8501-394. May the Lord bless you.